be seated.
I think most of you probably know that, this, but the church has sung that hymn for 500 years. That was written by Martin Luther back in the early 1500s. Now, it wasn't written in English by him. It was written in German. But for 500 years, it's the song of the Reformation. And today is Reformation Sunday. For all of those who look at the church calendar, it's the Sunday where we recognize that God did something spectacular in Europe that turned the church back to justification by faith alone. So I'm sure there's a bunch of churches singing that song today. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 124. Psalm 124. And we read these words. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Let's pray. Father, now as we open your word, we want to be instructed by it and through it. We ask that you change us and encourage us and give us something to take with us into our week that would give us the strength for each week we go through. And so, Father, you speak to us through your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. The psalmist declared in Psalm 118, verse 7, the Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. When the author of the book of Hebrews was looking for a verse to encourage the early church, he reached back to the message of that psalm, and he wrote in Hebrews 13:6, so we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So we find that in both an Old Testament psalm and a New Testament epistle, the expression of a truth that we want to examine this morning. The Lord is my helper. Now, in everyday life, it's good to have a helper. I remember Mom and Dad sometimes a little stronger than suggesting, that I would be their helper at some task. And I imagine all of you have heard, and probably most of you have said at one time or another, when you see a little child helping one of their parents, you'd say something like, look at that, daddy's little helper, or mama's little helper, and so on. And when we say that, we mean it in a very positive sense. Other experiences that you have heard of, I think, perhaps are the use of helplines. Helplines. It might sound like this. Are you having trouble with our product? Call our product helpline and talk to one of our technicians. Or maybe are you struggling with a certain health issue? Call our emergency helpline immediately. And it would be appropriate to suggest that at the other end of that line would be a helper, someone to help you. A 19th century hymn, I don't think we've sung in decades now, goes this way. The Lord's my help and support, my Savior and my friend. He bears my sinking spirits up and will my soul defend. And we open our service singing these words. O God, our help in ages past. The question for you and for me, is he your help in the present? Is he my help in the present? Or a better question, in what ways have you found your Lord to be your helper in real life? I want to talk about that this morning. And I don't know what they're talking about over there, but they're having a good time. All right, very simple outline, very simple outline. Number one, the helper, the helper. What does it mean to us that God is our helper? It sounds very good. It sounds like something I would be very grateful for. But, you know, in all honesty, when you first hear it, it sounds a little backwards. If you said to me, God wants you to be his helper in something, I would say, cool, I'll do it. But what the Bible is talking about here is God being a helper for me, to me, to us. So what does it mean? First of all, in our psalm, it refers to God being for you. God being for you. In the first two verses, if it had not been God who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us. Verse 1 and 2 refer to God being on our side, and verse 8 refers to God being our help. Now, I'd like to suggest that our side is an illustration of our help. In other words, verse 8 sums up the rest of the psalm. He's on our side, he's on our side when this happened and this happened and this happened. Indeed, God is our help. So, first of all, God being for you. I might illustrate that when thinking of a parent and that parent's children. A parent is always on the side of their children. If no one else is for your child, you will be. Always ready to help. It's what a parent does. Well, the Bible also gives another illustration of the word helper and what helper means. In fact, the very first time we find the word helper is in Genesis chapter 2, referring to Eve. And the Bible says in Genesis 2:18, then the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. Now, what's the picture here? The picture is someone who stands side by side, shoulder to shoulder, together navigating life and being there whenever needed to provide help. In fact, it's a lifetime of helping, so much so that Jesus declared in Matthew 19:6, so they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. It's a picture of a married couple working as a team, the wife helping the husband as the household is run, and so on. Back to God as a helper. The omnipotent God with infinite and eternal power becomes my helper. We have a God who knows everything happening on the earth, yesterday, today, tomorrow. Unlimited power, unlimited knowledge, unlimited resources, and he doesn't change. The writer of Hebrews stated that unequivocally in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Our God doesn't change. So, a supernatural God with unlimited power, unlimited knowledge, unlimited resources, and unlimited grace and mercy and love can enter any situation and come to the aid of an individual or group with infinite options to help. Let me say that again. A supernatural God with unlimited power, unlimited knowledge, unlimited resources, and an unlimited grace, mercy, and love can enter any situation and come to the aid of an individual like you and me, or a group like us, with infinite options to help. I would submit to you to call him a helper is probably to understate what God can do. Let me put it this way. If you had 10,000 helpers in life, it would not hold a candle to what God can do. Think about that. But let's continue by just adding an adjective to the idea of helper. Number two, my helper. My helper. Again, Hebrews 13:6. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Now, as we look at Psalm 124, and we'll get back to it in just a moment, it's a communal psalm, a praise of the community to God. But the Bible certainly presents very clearly the individual aspect of it as well. In other words, the Lord is my helper. I can say the Lord is Dave Dreyer's helper. And you would say, well, I'm sure glad he's helping that guy. But I could say to each one of you, the Lord is your helper. And I'm sure glad that is as well. Listen to these verses. Psalm 30, verse 10. Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. Psalm 54, verse 4. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. Psalm 119, verse 7. The Lord is on my side as my helper. And even if we just shorten it just a bit to the word help, look at these two verses. Psalm 40, verse 17. As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, my God. In Psalm 121, a psalm where we started this series a few weeks ago, verse 1 and 2, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord. Earth. Now, recognizing one more time that the Psalms are both the songbook and the prayer book of the Old Testament saints, you can certainly say that the concept of help and helper is continuously present in the Psalms. I'm not so sure we sometimes remember that or focus on it in our culture in 2025. We delight in Jesus as our Savior, and we should. We delight in Jesus as the Creator and Sustainer, and we should. We delight in Jesus as our friend and guide, and we should. We delight that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we should. We delight that Jesus is the forgiver of our sins and the giver of eternal life, and we should. But do we think about and pray about and praise Him for being our helper, our ever-present helper? Thirdly, do you recognize Him as your helper? Do you praise Him for being my helper? The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Now, did you notice that one of the first things that is a result of God being your helper is, I will not fear? Well, that's pretty practical, seems to me. What does it mean? It means that the understanding that God is my helper and embracing that truth eliminates fear. Great promise God in Isaiah puts the two concepts of help and fear together. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Fear not, Isaiah says. Your helper is present. To add one more thing to this, 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. The question is, where am I going to go to find perfect love? Well, you know the answer. One place, one person, the one who is your helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Now, every time I read that phrase, it reminded me of Romans chapter 8. And you don't have to turn there right now. I'd rather you just listen as I read a very well-known passage. Most of you have read many times. I want to read it again and think of it in terms of the Lord being our helper and not fearing what man can do. Verse 31 and following. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who's at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? In those verses, it goes along with the psalm. What is man? What is man? And he keeps saying, who? 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 Then he answers the question. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we're being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Verse 37. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That is Paul's position, so to speak, on the Lord is my help. I will not fear. What can man do to me? But it gets even better. And you might ask, how in the world, Pastor Dave, can it get it any better than what you've already said? Well, hang on. Jesus taught us in John chapter 14. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. 10 verses later. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. I find it interesting. It's almost like Jesus is saying to His disciples, remember all the times in the Psalms where it says, God is your helper? Well, know that I'm sending Him to you in the person of God, the Holy Spirit, and He will be with you forever because He is in you forever. To all who by faith have embraced Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, this is our Lord's promise to you. Think that through. Are you a believer? A helper indwells you and is with you. Are you a follower of Jesus? A helper is with you. Have you been born again, saved by grace? A helper is with you. To you, Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit to be with you. And you can be assured that He's with you because He's in you. Every single believer. And what does Jesus call him? The Helper. The Helper. Now, in the most literal translations of the Scripture, it's translated here, Helper. And you've probably read it in a lot of other, there's a lot of words. It's a very dynamic word. It can also mean counselor. It can also mean comforter and so on. But the most literal translations translate it, Helper. Helper. You woke up this morning. God, your helper, is with you. When tomorrow you go into where you work, God the Spirit, your helper, is in you and with you. Or you walk through the doors of your school, God the Holy Spirit is with you and in you. Don't ever let anybody tell you they took God out of the schools. Every time a believer goes into the school, God is with them and in them. And to encourage all of you who work in the schools, God can work through you, through His Spirit, in that environment. You come back home in the evening, God is with you, the Spirit. You lay your head on your pillow, God is with you, He's in you. You volunteer at a charity, God is with you, He's in you. You go on an extended vacation, God is with you, He's in you. You enter a hospital or a nursing home, God is with you, He's in you. Understand, my helper is never, ever gone or absent or sleeping. Let that permeate your mind and your heart today. He's always with you. A real relationship with God brings you by grace things that you never could imagine to be true. It's amazing. One more point. Number three, our helper. Our helper. This psalm takes the concept of God being my helper and extends it to God being our helper. And 24 mostly speaks of community. Two, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, down to verse 6, blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey. Verse 7, we have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Verse 8, our help, Our help is in the name of the Lord. Now, this psalm refers to a time when a brutal invading army had surrounded the Old Testament saints, and they had no earthly hope. The enemy was about to swallow them up. The enemy was about to destroy them like a flood. The enemy was about to eat them and tear them apart as a wild animal. And the enemy had trapped them, and there was no escape. But as hopeless as it seemed through earthly eyes, it did not happen. Why? The helper appeared and rescued them. The opening lines of the psalm, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, we might have been destroyed. But an exclamation of praise, but, and if you put those together, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, but blessed be the Lord who rescued us, who helped us to escape, who preserved us in dire straits. And then a statement of belief, our help is in the name of the Lord. Now I want you to see that there's a great reminder here. Not only is God your helper and my helper as individuals, he's the helper of communities as well. It might be geographical communities, cities, countries, regions. It might be tribes or people groups. It might be families. It might be churches. I want to remind you of something that I said a few moments ago, one more time. A supernatural God with unlimited power, unlimited knowledge, unlimited resources, and unlimited grace and mercy and love can enter any situation and come to the aid of an individual or a group with infinite options to help. And to work backwards for just a moment from ours to me, the same God who with one word can rescue a nation is the same God who would be delighted and ready to rescue you in your circumstance, me and mine. It's almost too good to be true. The same God who keeps the universe running is your helper. The same God, almost too good to be true. But every single day of your life, he is with you. And if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, he is in you. Let me ask you a simple question. Can you testify, if it wasn't for the Lord my helper, then fill in the rest? I had no hope. But praise God, he was my helper. You're never alone. Never. Help is but a prayer away. Embrace that tremendous truth this morning and go out into your world with a new spring in your step, saying, my God is with me, my God is in me, and he's ready to help no matter what I face. Let's pray. Father, in what would probably seem like a fairly simple truth, something that we might teach to kids, being a good helper, God's our helper. Lord, when we dig into it, it's something that adults need to hear all the time as well, something I need to hear, something we need to hear, something we need to remember. We are never, ever alone. Jesus promised, he absolutely promised, that when he leaves, he sent us, who've been saved by grace, a helper. And Jesus said, not only will he be with you, he'll be in you. Lord, help us to grasp that. It seems so simple, and we can state it so easily. But in practice, Lord, we need to know it and act on it, that we have a helper always with us. So, Father, I just want to praise you and thank you for it. And I pray that as we talk about it this week, that we'd find great joy in it, comfort in it, encouragement in it, and help. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.